follow the muddy boot prints of a farmer and her friends, Pup, Kitty, and the ducks, 1, 2, 3. From a rainy winter day to lush spring rows of flowers, discover how a family, a farm, and a community of neighbors come together to bring joy to everyday life. As a Christian, a homeschool graduate, and a flower farmer for over 6 years, and as an aunt 26 times over, Catherine noticed something missing, a children's book that featured a flower farm and the incredible wonder that comes from planting a single seed. Created especially for children 2 to 4 years old, this book brings real photographs taken on the farm and invites young readers into a slower, more natural pace of life. Each image is softly finished in watercolor, and every animal in the story truly has lived there. Printed and bound right on the farm, every copy is made by hand and bound with love. To order All in the Flower Fields, visit sunnyhillflowerfarm.com.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am here today with special guest Shania McNeely, who is Becky's sister-in-law. Becky's also here, who is also Kate Hutchcraft's friend, who is also here, and my friend.
Is that a good intro?
Okay. Like how confusing that sounded? I hope you all did like that. Shania is all of our friend, but we're all here, and we're all going to record today. And Shania is just a great example of being super involved in everyone's life, but you're single.
Yeah.
Not that that's an exception to being involved in people's lives, but I think it can be a stumbling block for some people of like, I can't be in the same small groups with families because I don't have a family yet. Mm-hmm. And they just feel weird about that or something, but you're not. You're all up in our business and it makes me happy.
There was an aunt.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that noise disturbance in the recording. But yeah, I think that you do a wonderful job at that. So we wanted to interview you about singleness for a myriad of reasons, but one, because you're doing a good job at it, even though I'm sure you're like, stop, I don't want to be doing a good job at it sometimes.
Well, she also, I mean, not to speak for you, but she doesn't like when people say nice things about her.
Right. Sure. So let's all say nice things and stare at her.
She's going to be a little bit squirmy because we're
not there. I don't like it when people say nice things to me either, really.
Not just Jordan, Kate, and I, but all of the ladies at our church and anyone who knows Shania thinks the world of her for so many reasons. She really is a fantastic just woman. And so I'm really excited to get to interview her. I know I'm biased because I'm her sister-in-law.
You really got lucky with that.
I did.
Is that why you married Brandon?
I mean, that's why she didn't marry.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You thought she didn't like you.
This is the sister-in-law, for those of you listening that listen to Brandon and I's love story, this is the sister-in-law that was a red flag. Because I was like,
I'm not actually a red flag.
No. But she's one where I was like, no, she just, Brandon's like, no, it's just how her face is sometimes.
I understand your face completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week with the lemonade spill.
Yeah. It was a coffee spill.
Yeah.
But now, so it's funny to think that because now she's not just my sister-in-law. She's truly my best friend.
That's awesome.
And she is such a blessing. And not just to us and not just to my kids as being an amazing aunt, but a blessing to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
A blessing to the friends around her. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited to get to interview her today.
Like so much so that my daughter calls for her aunt. And like, I genuinely don't think that she knows that you're not her aunt. Like you're just Nina, like Aunt Nina. So it's sweet.
All right. So let's get started with some questions that we prepared for you. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay.
A little nervous.
Okay. So first, just tell us about yourself.
Oh my gosh. I hate this question. I'm just like, I don't know how much to tell, how much not to tell. I guess also, so I'm from Northwest Missouri. I'm just near 20 minutes like north of Kansas City, if anybody knows where that is.
I grew up there my whole life. And then after Fran and Becky got married, like a year later, I moved down here to Southern Illinois to go to college. And then I never finished college, but I never left Illinois either. Everyone always told me like, oh, once you move here, you're never going to move away. And I was like, no, that will not be me. And sure enough, 9.5 years later,
yeah,
I'm still here.
That's awesome.
And so anyway, so I have been living here. I've been a nanny for starting my fourth year. I've worked for two different families. Absolutely amazing, both of them. I don't know what else.
You guys You're very know. Crafty. Yeah,
I'm very crafty. I like to pick up a new skill about every 6 months.
Yes, mm-hmm. And you're so good at them.
Yeah. She just made the most beautiful banner for Becky and I's daughter's birthday yesterday. And it was, everyone was like, is it homemade? Like, did somebody make that? Where'd you get it? And I was like, her, right there.
It was not her.
It wasn't us.
Do you want to share why you didn't finish college? Because that's not a story that you hear a lot from single women. So please share why you didn't finish college, because I kind of love it.
So I hated school growing up. And from like middle school on, all I ever wanted to do was be a wife and be a mom. I mean, earlier than that, but like I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And so then when you're in high school and like, oh, you gotta decide what you're gonna do, I'm like, I have no idea. So I went to a community college, I got my associates in arts, and then I moved here to go to SIU, and I started out in social work, and everyone was so negative, and I was like, okay, I don't wanna go to a job where everyone is like burnout after 5 years. And so then I took a couple years off, and then I worked in a school as an aide, and then I was like, okay, maybe I wanna be an elementary teacher. I loved my job as an aide. And then I started school, and I was like, well, Illinois public schools are terrible. I don't want to work in a public school. And then I was like, all I want to do is just be a wife and be a mom and stay home and teach my kids. And I was like, why am I going into thousands of dollars of debt for something that I eventually don't even want to use, Lord willing, if I ever get married and have kids? So I dropped out and I just started working. I'm like, I can acquire so many more skills that are useful for the lifestyle that I want to live, working as a nanny or, you know, whatever, than I can as an elementary teacher, which elementary teachers, like, that would have prepared me to teach my own kids someday. Like, I learned a lot of things as an aide that will help me to teach my kids, but ultimately, like, I want to be a wife and a mom, and I can learn more on how to raise kids, how to keep home clean, whatever, as a nanny. And I have learned so much from that. So that is why I dropped out, because I didn't want to be in a ton of debt for a job that I eventually was hopefully not going to use.
That could potentially prevent you from staying home with your kids later.
Exactly.
Because we've talked about that before. Like, there's not a lot of prep for girls, you know, going into it. And I have several friends that would love to be home with their kids more, but they're in so much debt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and you can also, like, nowadays, you don't need a degree to have a successful life.
Yeah. Right.
I can do so many different jobs with only associates, or even without an associate. Like, I can have a wonderful life, even if I'm single my whole life without that.
And there's so many people, like, you're so good at being a nanny, and so many people need trustworthy care for their kids.
I think that is something that single women should be very cautious about, is not getting into a lot of debt before they're married.
Yeah.
And I've said this for many, many years. I have discouraged a lot of women from going to college, especially for degrees that they will not be using, if their goal is to eventually get married and stay home with their children. I am not against teaching daughters to think and be educated and all that, but I'm just saying, be wise financially in the process of that. Right. Don't just go and give someone $100,000 so you can have a degree that is kind of pointless. And degrees are the world is so quickly changing with AI and so many things. It's like, don't give your money away. Don't make it harder for you and your future husband to set up your family in the way that you would want it to be. So I think that was wise of you. How old are you?
I'm 29. I'll be 30 in like 4 months.
Okay.
4 months. How far are we? August is? I don't know.
Denim. Ish.
Yeah.
And I mean, since I've known you, I know of one relationship that you've been in that you kind of thought maybe might end in marriage, and it ended up not. And I know you've had ups and downs of like being hopeful for marriage to come quickly, and then trusting the Lord also. So can you give some encouragement to women who are in the process of waiting and just like praying that God would send a spouse, but it not being right now, God saying not yet?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think one thing I've struggled with the most the last 10 years of being an adult is desiring to be married, but also still desiring to be content and like how those fit together. And it's like, oh, well, if I'm still desiring to be married, then I'm not truly content being single. And it's just been in the last few years that I've realized like, no, I can desire that and still be fully content in being single and like knowing that God has blessed me in so many ways and given me such a beautiful life already. And so I would say my first encouragement is that you can be content and desire to be married at the same time, and those things can go together.
Yeah.
It's really just like where your heart is and what you are focusing on and what your priorities are in life. And then another thing that I have been like kind of mulling over the last couple months, I saw this video, and I don't even remember what the girl was talking about, but she used the phrase, don't waste the waiting.
Yeah.
And that like really stuck with me, because I, over the last, like I would say 5 or 6 years, you know, is when I really started to think like, okay, I am ready to be married. Which I always thought I would be married young, like in my early 20s. But it was like over the last 5 or 6 years where I was like, okay, I actually think I can be a wife now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started acquiring all these different skills and whatever. Like I didn't want to wait until I was married to learn how to clean a house properly or to learn how to cook a meal or, you know, how to sew, which I've known how to sew most of my life, but it's like actually learning how to use a pattern and like sew a whole dress or a shirt or whatever. And, you know, learning how to crochet or make birthday banners or whatever, like all these different skills that I'm using or that I'm learning that will be useful when I'm a wife and a mom. And so, you know, just not wasting that time of singleness, just, oh, I'm single and I'm just gonna, you know, be a single woman and do whatever I want. Like, yes, I can do whatever I want because I don't have anybody, I don't have a spouse or kids relying on me, but I want to be intentional with that time. So learning different skills, spending time with married women in their homes and learning from them. And that has been like pretty much all my friends are married with kids. And so that has been a huge blessing to me to see how each of them run their homes and how like, you know, parenting styles. And I'll see like, oh, there are things that this person does that maybe I don't love, or I can, you know, see, oh, I've learned a lot from Brandon and Becky and like things that they've done in the past. And they're like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore. And so I'm learning like, oh, I can see how that has played out. And maybe that's the way that I don't want to parent my kids, or maybe, you know, for my kids that parenting style will work out differently. So, you know, I learn a lot from Becky, like how to clean, because she loves cleaning, organizing and everything. Yeah. And you know, there are different things like from Kate and, you know, any other friends I have that I learn from them. And so I would just say like, learn the skills, you know, spend time with your married friends and do like different experiences. Like I have waited until now to start going to concerts, to start traveling with friends. Like I was never a person that would go on vacations because, I mean, frankly, I didn't have the money for it, but also I wasn't budgeting for it. I wasn't saving. Mm-hmm. And so like, don't, and I was just thought, oh, when I get married, like my husband and I will take trips together. Mm-hmm. Like don't wait until you're married, because you don't know when that's going to happen. Like, I mean, I may not get married until I'm 50 or whatever. And then I wasted my whole life not traveling. So
yeah. And I think, too, it's also important to not wait for your husband to do the things that you want to do. And, like, because your husband's going to have different interests.
Right.
So, like, Ben and I do things apart a lot because, like, we don't have the same interests. So, like, he doesn't care as much about thrifting. So, I take the kids and we have a good time. We meet up with, like, Becky or, you know, Jordan at a yard sale or something. And so, it's like, if I, you know... If you wait all that time to do things, your husband might not like concerts.
Right.
Well, and I have a couple of single friends still. And, you know, we went to a concert a couple months ago and it was a blast. We were in Nashville all weekend and it was so much fun. I was like, man, why did I wait so long to start going to concerts? I think I've been to 3 concerts in my life. Mm-hmm. This was so fun. And the tickets are expensive, but they're relatively cheap for this one. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, don't waste your time, you know, learn all of the skills you can, spend time with women who are in the next stage of life or who are older than you. Because, I mean, like Becky and Kate, we're all like the same age, but they're in the next stage of life. But also like find women who are older, who, you know, 10, 15, 20, whatever years older than you, because they have wisdom that even like your friends who are the same age who may be married with kids can give you.
Yeah, and it's such really wise. One thing that you do really well, too, is it's not just acquiring the skills, learning about them, but you put them into practice.
Mm-hmm.
Now. You have not waited to become a homemaker until you have a family. I've seen that lean towards you, or what I have seen you actively take good care of your home and
you've been talking about, like, hey, I've been learning this about budgeting, and I'm learning how to meal plan, and you're learning all of those things down. It's not just like, oh yeah, I'm learning about it, but you're putting them into practice now, which is just another, it will help later on, Lord willing, when he blesses you with the family, you're not having to learn how to meal plan, how to take care of all of those things, and then like waiting to actively use them until then. You're not just like stashing them away like you do Christmas presents, where it's like, yeah, stash this away for later.
Yeah.
But no, I'm just going to add this into my life now. I'm going to be a godly woman now, be a blessing to other people now. And as a married woman with children, and I know, you know, technically, family-wise, you are my children's aunt. However, you are such a blessing to me, to our kids, the way that you just pop over, you know? Mm-hmm. You're just like, hey, I got off work. Can I come over and see the kids? I'm like, yes, please. And, you know, sometimes Elsie's like, I want my curls done. You're like, okay, I'll do your hair, you know?
Yeah.
She's phenomenal. Little girl hair. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it's such a blessing, even as, and as a married woman, to have somebody. Sometimes there's days that are overwhelming, and I don't know how you do it, because I never text you saying, I am overwhelmed today. But you pop in and you just, your presence immediately lightens the load. The kids are always so excited to see you, and it just immediately lightens it. And like, oh, she's playing with them and hanging out with them. I got 5 minutes to do the dishes, where their needs are met, and I can take care of this. And that's not to say married women have single ladies come over so that you can do the dishes.
Yeah.
At peace.
Yeah.
But it is a blessing when single women come into your home and you say, hey, let me just jump right in with what you're doing and not just learn from you, but being a friend to you. If I'm just going to be in it with you, is such a blessing.
Well, and that's one thing, like, I hear a lot of single women say, oh, I'm always going over to their house, or like, oh, they always just want me to come over and watch the kids and, you know, help them with this, that, or whatever. And like, we never just like hang out, the two of us, whatever. And I get that that can be really discouraging or kind of frustrating for single women. But at the same time, I would argue, like, you get to go do those things. You get to watch their kids. You get to help them with whatever around their house. And that can be harder. Like, I've grown up with, like, always being around kids. I love being around kids. And so, like, going over and watching somebody's kids, it's not a big deal to me. Like, I love it. Or, you know, going over and chatting while we're doing house tasks, or, like, sometimes I'll just sit at Becky's counter while she's washing the dishes or cooking dinner or whatever, and we'll just talk. And I love that. And that can, you know, be a huge blessing to married women, but also I'm learning through those situations. So, you know, for single women, I would try and find the positives in those situations. It can be frustrating when you feel like you're not being seen or heard or whatever, but also use those friendships and those relationships to learn from them and to be a blessing to your married friends.
And an encouragement for married women who are looking to seek some friendship with single women, or have single women that you want to minister to, view them as a friend instead of somebody just coming over to babysit the kids. But you and I are genuinely friends, like ride or die friends. Mm-hmm. And when you come over to the house, we talk about, you know, the book that you're reading. Sometimes
you read ones that I can't handle.
But
and then she talks to me.
But we talk about the books you're reading. We talk about, you know, we check in on, like, sometimes I check in like, hey, how are you doing with contentment, or how are you doing with this, that, or the other? Or you check in with me and say, hey, you asked me to hold you accountable for this. How are you doing here? And being a genuine friend as a married woman, being a genuine friend to them, and talk to your single friends about their life, not just about the frustrations of your day, but just be a friend to them, you know, invest in their life, pray for them, text them like you would a friend. Not just see them as the single woman that you are ministering to, but text them just like, hey, something crazy happened today. Or does this outfit look okay on me? I texted you the other day, like, do these shorts make me look ridiculous? Because she has a much better sense of style than I do. And so just married women, view your single friends or single women as friends too, not just somebody to minister to.
I'm reading this book, Atypical Woman by Abigail Dodd. And my friend Maggie and I were talking about this chapter on singleness the other day. And there's a section in here that talks about not feeling like you can't speak into a married woman's life if you are single. And I think that that's such valuable advice, because a single woman actually can view marriage and view parenting with a clarity that we can't because we're in the middle of it. And it's like how you can give advice to a mom with a toddler with a tantrum when you don't have a toddler with a tantrum anymore. It's like, I can more clearly tell you something that might be helpful. But if I'm also in that exact same stage, I'm like kind of more sympathetic than maybe I should be or something.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's really wonderful to have a friend that's not in the exact same season or life that you have, because she can just clearly tell you from the word what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, I know that the Bible says this about being a wife or a mom. So this is what God says to you. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that's some advice to single women, too, is don't feel like you can't speak into a married woman's life, mm-hmm. or give advice on parenting, mm-hmm. or give advice on being a wife if you are not a wife yet, because you do have God's word. And then there's just a really great couple paragraphs in here that I'm going to read all of. So it's a little lengthy. Buckle up. Not too bad, but just very good. Likewise, if your singleness is unwanted, it's true that you are being denied something, a marriage relationship with a man, but you are being given things too, things that uniquely accompany what you're being denied. You don't have a husband to talk to or with whom to give and receive counsel, but you've been given a deeper dependence on our eternal groom, Jesus Christ, who always leads you on straight paths. And you've been given brothers and sisters in great measure from whom to give and receive. You may have been denied biological children, but there is no childlessness in the new covenant. You have been given children beyond counting in Christ to love, nurture, and discipline. I'm sorry, disciple. As Paul and Jesus did. As Elizabeth Elliot reminds us, we do not choose our gifts, remember? You don't have the opportunity to point to Christ and his church in the earthly relationship of marriage, but you have the opportunity to show the sufficiency of Christ while you wait for something much better than the picture, the real consummation to come. God is tailor-making gifts for you that come precisely as the result of what has been withheld. You'll miss them if you're fixated on the one he has denied you. He has given you himself, dear sisters. Show all of us, married and single, that is enough. And I think that is just a wonderful reminder to not fixate on what God says no to in the season, because God tells all of us no about certain things, or not yet, or maybe later, you know. And if you're only focused on the gifts that you do not have right now, then you're going to miss out on the beauty that you do have right now. I remember whenever I was single in college, one of my mom's friends, she was older, and she was like, I know you want to be married, but just know, this is the only season in your life you can eat just popcorn for supper and no one will care.
I know. I thought about that sometimes. I love cooking, but I'm also the queen of just eating a plate of french fries for dinner. I'm like, man, when I'm married someday, my husband
fries
for dinner.
You have a lot of people that are also eating. You don't have popcorn for summer.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things in your life right now that are hard. But there are also things in your life right now that are easier than what they might be one day. Mm-hmm. And to not miss the beauty of simplicity in this season that may not be there in the next season. Or there may be simplicity then that you don't have now. You just don't know. And God is blessing you in ways that are wonderful. And if I'm only like, I really just wanted to be in the WNBA and it didn't work out for me. I only grew to 5 feet tall and I'm mad. Like, that would be such a disservice to my life. And that's a silly example. But like, if a single woman is only fixated on what she does not have in the season, she misses out on so much beauty and loveliness that God is blessing her with right now.
I have seen you grow. Not that you were, you know, horrifically discontent, you know, when I met you or anything like that. But I have, as you have gone through adulthood and you have friends who get married and things, I've seen that. I've seen an incredible growth in you of learning what true contentment looks like as a single woman in this season. So can you share any tips that you have on maybe what that process was like for you, or tips on how to be content in the waiting, or how to be content with coming to that realization of the Lord may not have a husband for me? You know, I know you've said that to me before. I'm learning to be content with the fact that this may be what my life is. So can you share any tips or wisdom that the Lord has given you over the last few years?
Yeah. So I, you know, again, like I've already said, all I ever wanted to be was a wife and a mom. And so my parents became parents at 23. And for whatever reason, in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, I'm going to become a wife and a mom by 23. This is going to be great. And then, you know, now I'm 29, almost 30, and that has not happened. And so over the years, it's been like, okay, another year went by. I'm another year older. I'm still not married. I still don't have kids. And I kept setting like new goals for myself. They were not goals of like, okay, I'll be married by 27. I'll be married by 28. I'll be married by 29. Okay, I want a kid before I'm 30. And those like ways of thinking were like a breeding ground for discontentment. And it's because each year that passed and every time I had another birthday, it was like, oh, okay, that still didn't happen. Like, okay, I want a big family, that I'm never gonna have a big family now because I'm, you know, almost 30 and, you know, there's still nothing happening. So I would say like, just don't focus on like wanting to have everything done by a certain age, because that is, I mean, that you're going to be let down, because like I can't make my own plan. I kept trying to like make my own plan. And then instead of focusing on the negatives, like, okay, I'm still not married, I'm still don't have kids, focusing on what God has given you. And I think once I like switched my mindset to focusing on the blessings that God has given me, like I get to be an aunt to more than just, you know, my brothers as well as kids. And I have two brothers, they both have kids. So I get to be an aunt to more than just them. I have Kate's kids who I consider nieces and nephews, our friend Megan's kids who I consider little nephews, and I get to be helpers to them. You know, God has given me an amazing job and I love it so much. And it is just about the closest thing to being a stay-at-home mom as you can get when you are single. And, you know, every job before that I have hated. I hated working. I still don't love working outside the home, but I love my job so much. And I have had two amazing families that I've gotten to work for with just incredible kids. And so that has been a huge blessing. And so really just focusing on the things that God has given you instead of focusing on the things you still don't have.
One of my questions was, how can single women be a blessing to the body of Christ and not feel like they're waiting to really be a member of the church or really be a part of the church until they have a family? Because I feel like sometimes people can feel like they don't want to attend everything if they're not with a family, you know, or I don't know. But any advice on that? Because I think you do a good job on that of being very involved and serving. Yeah. And like,
I mean, part of that is just because I don't want to miss out on it. But
it's a healthy FOMO.
Yes. Yes. So, I love being involved in church. I've always loved being involved. I would say find a place to serve. I have always served in the kids program at every single church that I've gone to. And I love it so much. I love, you know, working with kids. I love teaching kids. So find a place that you can serve, or, you know, like with small group. When, you know, when I was in Jared's small group, we would have a meal. So like just cooking for people, like that would bring me so much joy because I don't have a lot of other people to cook for. And so being a part of a group who was having this big dinner before we would discuss, like I would get to bring something for that. Most of the time it was dessert because I'm working and that's all the time I had to make something.
One time I brought a gajillion cinnamon rolls to here, and every single one of them was eaten. I think it was.
It's like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm so fast.
But they're amazing.
Yeah. So I would just like, I don't know, like find somewhere to serve, you know, being a helper to other people, like finding, you know, I love babysitting. And so other moms will come to me and say, hey, can you watch our kids so we can have a date night? Like, yeah, absolutely. Or
also our church barista.
Yeah. I think all the women, but
she makes a mean coffee too.
I worked at a coffee shop for a year, so that really helps out. I've acquired a lot of skills.
Yeah. I think that's good. I love the scripture, he puts the lonely in families. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that looks like giving you a family if you are lonely. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it looks like putting you in families. Mm-hmm. It's like you're part of our family, too. And it's like a protection from loneliness whenever you are in the body of Christ and you're a part of this family. And it's like, Christchurch, we are a family. Like, if nothing else, we are a family. Like, we are in it together and we all love each other very much.
And I would say that Christ, and I know no one church is perfect, but I would say Christchurch does a really good job of not making single women feel like they're just a single woman in church. Mm-hmm. Like nobody treats me differently. Nobody thinks less of me because I'm not a wife or a mom, at least not that I have heard.
No.
But also everyone is like, anytime, which this can be sometimes a little overbearing and a little overwhelming, but anytime somebody, you know, a new man shows up, they're always like, right? Did you see that guy over there? Or I feel like I have the freedom to walk up to any one of my married friends,
yeah,
any friend, and is like, hey, do your husbands know any single
friends? Yeah.
Or sometimes I've walked up to my friends' husbands and said, hey, you got any single friends at work? Like, you guys know, you got any friends? Like, and so anyways, I would say that Christchurch really does a really good job at caring for single women and caring about single women. And that has made it easier to be content in this season of singleness.
Cool.
Again, I think seeing, as a married woman, just seeing single women as a friend and yes, looking to establish friendships with them, mm-hmm, and just inviting them into whatever you're doing. Like, yeah, you can text a single friend and be like, hey, we're running errands today. We're going to go to the thrifting. Mm-hmm. We'll get coffee. Yeah. You want to, kids are going to be strapped in. You want to hop in my van and we'll go somewhere?
I have hopped in both Kate and Becky's vans before just to go to the grocery store. Just so we can hang out.
Like, hey, tell me all about your life. Yeah. And I'm also going to be buying a bunch of potatoes.
And maybe disciplining a child.
Yeah.
Pause the conversation. We'll come right back.
Yeah.
Like when Ollie was throwing up in the backseat.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he was so mad that we were at Target and we were waiting for an order. And she got out, was like soothing him, and he just had vomit all
over him. Yeah. I'm sorry, Nina.
But one of the sweetest things, too, is, like, obviously I would be super happy for you if you got married. But one of the things I, like, some of my favorite memories of us together have been, like, the random, like, after hours things. Like, and, like, where you come over and I'm like, as soon as Audrey goes to bed, we're doing this paint. We're making tiny little, like, play things that never turn out for me. But it's super fun. And actually, Becky just made me throw away my air dry clay, though, so if I do that again.
I didn't make you.
So it's true. It's true.
She pressured you.
Helped me throw it away.
In a fit of organization.
But some of my favorite, like, things that we've done together are the, like, random pockets of time that only you have time for. Like, I mean, not that, like, my other friends wouldn't come over after their kids are asleep. It's just harder when little kids need you in the middle of the night. And so it's especially fun when I'm like, Nina's coming over once I get the kids to bed. Or, like, Ben's out of town and I'm like, let's eat chips for dinner. Or, like, every time Ben goes out of town, I'm like, Nina and I just need to get together and do, like, a girl dinner and, like, Christmas Diaries or something like that. And that's so fun, too. Like, and one of the things I was thinking about as we've been talking is making sure that your single friends don't feel like you're utilizing them for, like, childcare or, well, I do utilize you.
Yes.
But I think
I'm glad you do it.
Yeah, but I think it's important too, like, that you're giving back to them as well, because they're doing you a giant favor. So whether that's monetarily or you're, like, helping take things off your single friends' plates as well, because they're being a huge blessing to you and you trust them and love them because they're your friend, but they're also super available sometimes for childcare because they're single. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, just making sure that, like, we're not none of us would intentionally do that, but just as married women that we're, like, making sure to look for ways to bless our single friends too.
And one thing I just talked to Maggie about too is I was like, I don't know, I just always feel like single women probably don't want to come and be involved in my crazy day. Like, they probably don't want that. And Maggie's like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
I was like, you just want to come over for dinner and, like, be involved in it? She's like, yes. And I think that especially, like, college kids that are, like, just away from families,
mm-hmm,
and stuff like that, just not assuming that they don't want to be involved in your insanity.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to hear this crying and yelling. Like, no, they might. They might be fine with it.
There was one time I was discipling. It was actually Maggie's older sister.
Oh, Liz, yes.
Liz. And she would come over to my house, and it was kind of like Russian roulette.
Yeah,
she never knew.
I know.
Because it might be super as full or not. I think, because it was, like, over the course of a year, I'm trying to remember. I think I was pregnant with Elsie and then had Elsie for a certain amount of time after, or maybe I was just pregnant with her. Anyway, but all the kids were little when I was pregnant.
Yep.
That whole conglomeration was there. So you never quite knew, like, how I would be feeling or what the kids were going to, how their days were going to go. And I remember a few weeks in, I was like, I'm so sorry. Because our Bible study got interrupted 100 times, I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, I love it. I look forward to Tuesdays. I love our time together. I was like, I'm so glad that you like this. Because I felt nervous and a little self-conscious.
Yeah.
Like, gosh, you're seeing my kid throw a fit. We're talking to you for 20 minutes about this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a blessing. She said it was a blessing to her, and it was such a blessing to me to have that friendship to them too, because sometimes as a stay-at-home mom, you're home with your kids a lot.
Yeah.
And so having somebody, and same thing, Nina will ride with us to small group a lot. Mm-hmm. And the next day, Brandon will be like, so how late did you stay up? You know, I'm like, well, it's
sometimes it's into the next day. And we both are at it. We're like, gosh, that was too late.
We're too old to be up till midnight. You know?
But it's just fun.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think for every woman, if you want friendship, don't be afraid to be vulnerable and not perfect.
Yeah.
My daughter has thrown up on Shania.
Oh, I think I've been thrown up by everybody's kids.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Room. Yeah, everyone's kids in this.
That is the thread that holds us all together.
Yeah.
We've all commented on her. But just being like, it's okay. Like, it's okay if stuff like that happens, that our friendship is stronger than being thrown up on. Yeah. And just being okay with not being perfect. Like, friendship is not about being perfect. It's about loving each other. And like, we're bonded together through Christ, actually. Mm-hmm. Not just vomit, but Christ. Not so much stronger. And being okay with that, like not trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Sorry, I interrupted you.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Something about vomit that doesn't.
Yeah.
Something about vomit.
Do you have any advice for married women, like married friends in general? Because who are trying to befriend like a single.
Yeah. Maybe they don't have this culture at their church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where do they start?
A lot of the same that we've already said, like invite them to do things. It doesn't have to be some grand thing like, oh, let's go out and we'll get coffee and I'll try and get a sitter. So it's just the two of us. Like, it doesn't need to be some grand experience or whatever. Like, invite them over to your house, invite them to run errands with you. If your kids are, if you're going to walk on a walk with your kids, like invite them to go on a walk with your kids, whatever. And then just take a genuine interest in their lives as well. Mm-hmm. Don't just invite them over and, you know, complain about your kids or, you know, how crazy your life is and whatever. Like, take a genuine interest in their life too, and form a genuine friendship with them more than just surface level. I'm a married woman. You're a single woman. Let me kind of disciple you, which discipleship is great, but it needs to go beyond that to an actual friendship.
But also, I think can be this view in the church that, like, if you're single, you must be needing discipleship.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just not true.
Yeah, that's what this was talking about.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, like, I don't view you as needing disciple because you're single and I've been married for 10 years. Like, it's, you are, the Lord has brought you to a place of contentedness. You're wonderful at being single. Like, you do a great job. You would be a great married woman too. Like, so it's not like, don't seek out single people in your church just to disciple them in their singleness.
Yeah.
Like, be friends first. And then, like, obviously, if they needed to decide, if they were depressed or they needed something, then yes.
Well,
but we're not assuming that all the single people out there are.
And I think you
know, me,
Well, and I think too, like, discipleship doesn't have to be this formal sit down. Let's go through and look. Like with Becky or with Kate or, you know, with when I go over your house, Jordan, it isn't always like, okay, let's sit down and read our Bible. Let's go through this book. It's
right.
Hey, I'm kind of struggling with this.
Yeah.
Piece of advice or, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Or like, don't ask me how I'm doing. I'm going to cry. And then we'll talk about it for an hour. And then we'll move on and pray. And then you'll pray for me and hold me accountable. It's like, that's what relationship is like.
Yes.
If we know each other well enough to be like, what's wrong? I can tell by your eyeballs something's going on.
Yeah. And literally walked up to me yesterday and said, hey, I can tell by the look in your eyes, like, you weren't okay after you spilled that coffee. And it was so not a serious thing.
No, it was just like,
I was just exhausted. I was just exhausted and, you know, the tears were there. And
And then Jordan has a nerve to ask me.
In her defense, she did wait an hour and a half.
I did.
Your church.
I let the steam not be so close to the surface.
And then Shania's defense, she had just run a marathon.
Yeah.
Not really a marathon.
Yeah.
I just run river to river the day before, and she's like, I can't move my legs, but I'll go do coffee.
Yeah, I was for like 20 hours last Saturday.
Running.
And
so if you know a good man, she's a good woman.
Yeah.
She can run. She can
do
everything.
And run.
Okay, I did have one more thing, which I will not like dwell on this. I'm going to say it and we can move on. One thing that I have found is not helpful is when married women or just anybody that is not single says things like, oh, well, you'll find them when you quit looking, or, when you're truly content being single, then God will give you a husband, or anything like
when you're single, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
This is all your fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or any, you know, anything that fits under that umbrella, it's not helpful, and it can actually be really discouraging because then, like, I have had times where I'll then look at myself and be like, okay, well, what am I doing wrong? Like, what is wrong with me that God has not given me a husband, when that's not true? I just have not, you know, it's not time for me to have a husband yet. And that's totally fine. Like, I have so many other things in my life to be thankful for and that I can focus on. And I can be a blessing to other families in this waiting. And so anyway, so don't say those things to your single friends. They're not helpful.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at it. Jared always says, and I think it's actually from Nancy Wilson, but through difficult seasons, don't ask why, but how do I glorify God through it? Mm-hmm. Or like, what am I supposed to do through it?
How do I steer this?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's the same thing. Like, there's no reason to inwardly look too deeply about situations like being single or any of the difficulties in life. But God, how do you want me to act during this? How can I glorify you through this? How can I honor you? So,
yeah.
Thank you for coming on today.
Yeah,
I appreciate your time and getting to hang out with you. So anyways, thank you for listening.